We now bring to these microphones David James. David and I have our weekly conversation. We focus on an issue, this time, as I said, scriptures, the foundation of our faith, and then the importance of approaching the Bible correctly with the proper interpretation. So glad that you could join us. Keep the dial set where it is. You need to eavesdrop on this conversation. David, last week a video came to our attention in which a very influential evangelical pastor made the statement that the Bible is not the foundation of our faith.
That's right. I was glad that somebody did send us this video. It's actually from YouTube, posted back in 2013, at least the one that we have. So it's not extremely recent, but it's extremely relevant. And in it, Andy Stanley, who is a pastor of North Point Community Church on the north side of Atlanta, did make the statement that the Bible is not the foundation for our faith. Now, he went on to make a few comments that we'll talk about in just a few minutes. He was pointing to that the foundation of our faith is Jesus, so he's not completely undermining the faith, but he said some things that are disturbing and I think confusing as well as misleading if not understood correctly.
Absolutely. Hey, you know, the timing of us being able to get a hold of this video is very good for our discussion, since you were actually at a conference this week that dealt specifically with how we should view and interpret the Bible.
Well, that's right. I'm a member of a group called the Council on Dispensational Hermeneutics, which was founded by several traditional dispensationalists, Dallas Seminary grads, and also has members from other traditional dispensational schools. And it was on dispensationalism and literal interpretation, and the two are definitely linked, as we've discussed so many times in our discussions over the past couple of years. It was a great conference. It's not just for the average person. It's kind of a high-level theological think tank, so we don't have the big numbers, but some of the really top evangelical dispensational scholars present some very good papers that help us lay the foundation in this year to help us understand what we really mean by literal interpretation and why it's so important.
You know, David, I'm so glad you were able to go to that conference. Boy, you better be teaching me what you're learning over there so I can take it forth and apply it to my own Bible study as well. But even though it's been quite a while since Andy Stanley's video came out, it seems to still be having an impact, influence on people that are still commenting on it. Why would that be?
Well, that's right, and there are a number of reasons. I did some research on Andy Stanley, and I've known of him for a long time. He's actually the son of well-known pastor of First Baptist Atlanta, Charles Stanley. Andy's actually only about a year older than I am. He was born in 1958. People can do the math on that one. As I said, he's a senior pastor of North Point Community Church on the north side of Atlanta. He has an undergrad degree from Georgia State University, but his biblical studies are from Dallas Theological Seminary, where I and most of those guys who were teaching at this seminar or this conference are from. He was named in 2010 by a survey of U.S. pastors to be the 10th most influential living preacher. His churches, which have grown to 6 campuses, has over 32,000 attendees each week. And so he has tremendous influence, especially with guys my age and younger. He has a lot of influence in the areas of leadership, Bible teaching, church growth. So he has the ear of many people. And even this particular video has 28,000 views. And as I was reading through the comments, some of them were posted just as recently as 2 weeks ago. So when people do searches and they're listening to what he has to say.
You know, David, we only have about, in this segment from the video, only about 3 minutes worth of what he had to say. But Stanley makes some very troubling statements in that 3 minutes. And these comments basically also have a basic logical errors as well.
Well, that's true. I think the one statement that he made, that the Bible is not the foundation of the faith. Now, let me quote from the video. He says, "The foundation of our faith is not the Scripture. The foundation of our faith is not the infallibility of the Bible." Well, you know, that cuts to the heart of the confidence that people would have in the Bible itself. Even though I do believe that he personally holds the Bible in at least fairly high regard, I think it's irresponsible to make statements like that. And then he goes on to talk about how he would talk about the creation, for example, and talks about the fact that there are many creation myths. And then he makes a statement when he's talking to skeptics, something like talking about Adam and Eve. This is one of those odd stories, he says. This is that story you heard growing up about two naked people running around in a garden, and who can believe that? Now, he goes on to say that he does believe it, but when you make comments that could be misconstrued and appear to be disparaging, and again, you're undermining the confidence in the Bible. And another thing about this, he goes on to say that the foundation for his faith is the historical Jesus, and the fact that Jesus came, that Jesus is God, so he gets that right, that Jesus rose from the grave, and he gets that right. But from a logical perspective, the question is, how does he know those things? Well, the answer is, he knows those things from the Bible, not from personal experience. And then the question comes, and this is a problem, and I've got an article on my website called The Danger of Red Letter Bibles, and it feeds into the problem, and here's what I mean by that. It feeds into the problem that people will think that the words of Jesus are somehow more authoritative than the words in black in those Bibles. But we read in John chapter 1, verse 1, that Jesus is the Word, the living Word of God. And he inspired all of these scriptures. So every word in the Bible is inspired and equally authoritative. And the words in red, though spoken by Jesus, are not more authoritative. Now, when Moses spoke, for example, Jesus was more authoritative, but when Moses wrote under the inspiration of the Spirit, what Moses wrote is equally inspired because it was inspired by Jesus himself.
David, give us that website address so people can read that article.
It's biblicalintegrity.org, one word, biblicalintegrity.org.
That'd be great. You need to go read that article by David James. So then, bottom line, we can and we should understand that the Bible actually is the foundation of our faith.
Well, that's right. We read that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And everything we know about God, including Jesus and the gospel and everything else about who God is, how we attain eternal life, the consequences for failing to do that, failing to trust in Christ, meaning an eternity separated from God in the lake of fire, all of those things we know from the Bible. So the Bible is the foundation of our faith at this point in history, because God has told us everything we need to know for life and godliness in the Scriptures.
David, let's move on to the topic of the conference that you attended, literal interpretation. Maybe it would be helpful for all of us to define exactly what we mean by literal interpretation.
Well, what we mean is we discover that what the Bible literally means by approaching it, reading it normally. In other words, if we pick up a newspaper, magazine, read an article on the internet, we use normal rules of grammar and communication in our language to understand what the author means. It means that we read the Bible in the light of its context and in its context in history. It means that we expect the author, both the human author and God himself, the divine author, to write with the intent to be understood. It means that we expect it to have objective meaning. The question is never, what does this mean to me? That's application. The question is, what did this mean to the original writer, and what does this mean to God? And when we do that, we understand that the words have literal meanings, and we take the Word of God seriously.
David, certainly not everyone who claims to be a Christian approaches the Bible this way in their interpretation. So what other methods of interpretation are there?
There are actually several, but they kind of boil down to two or three. One would be what's called the allegorical approach or the spiritual approach, and that is when people don't take the words at their face value. They don't take the author to mean what the words say. They don't get the meaning from the text. They say that there's some hidden meaning behind the words of the text, and we have to figure out what it is. There's sort of another approach, and this became popular in the mid-1900s, and that is the Bible becomes God's word to me as I read it, rather than something that is historically inspired. And both of those approaches are very dangerous, and it's not the approach that the biblical writers themselves or Jesus himself used.
David, everyone knows that the Bible is filled with symbolism and figures of speech. Now, that's normal. We know that. So how does this fit in with the idea of literal interpretation, and how can we know whether something is to be taken figuratively or literally?
The point of the figures of speech and symbolism in the Bible are to convey a literal meaning. So it's conveying a literal meaning with a figurative usage. And let me give you an example. If I call somebody up and I say, I'm down in the dumps, that could mean one of two things. Either I'm actually picking garbage somewhere, or I'm depressed, or, you know, something's got me down. And I could say I'm down in the dumps while I'm down in the dumps, but that means I'm depressed while I'm picking garbage. But the point is this, either I'm depressed or I'm in picking garbage, and my listener can know from the context which of those meanings is correct. So when Jesus says, I am the bread of life, nobody thought that he was made up of wheat and flour and water and eggs as opposed to flesh and blood. They understood that he had a literal meaning behind the figure of speech that says that who Jesus is and that he's the source of life. So as we look at the context of what the reader was saying, it's usually almost intuitively clear almost all the time as to what the literal meaning is behind the figure of speech. And we communicate that way all the time.
David, there are many conservative Christians who take the Bible seriously and interpret it in it right. However, when it comes to interpreting the Bible literally in many areas, they are okay, but when it comes to prophecy, so many seem to switch their approach.
Well, that's true, and that's how people don't believe in the end times as we understand it, the rapture, the tribulation, the millennial reign of Christ. But it really cuts to the heart of, do we take God seriously, especially his promises to Israel? If what God said in the past happened literally, all the prophecies were fulfilled literally, then we have to say that the remaining prophecies, the prophecies that remain to be filled, they must be taken and understood in the same way.
David James with a great discussion on how to approach our study of God's Word, the literal interpretation of it, and the importance of this approach in Bible study. David, thank you so very much. Thank you for going to that conference, and keep teaching us from what you've learned there, and maybe we'll do it in next week's conversation. We'll have another one next week. Thank you, David.
Thanks again, Jimmy.